Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to UBS's Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's market. My name is Mike Werner, and I'm here with Haley Tam. Combined, we are the co-heads of the European Diversified Financials team. In this episode, we're going to be taking a high-level look at private equity in Europe. Now, this is a topic Haley wrote a major report on in October last year, in which she revisited in a further report about 6 weeks ago. So, Haley, what was the reason for writing this research report last year?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the question. As you know, we work in the public stock markets, looking at publicly listed equities. And so it might seem that private equity sits outside our area of expertise. But actually, within the diversified financials research space, there are a number of listed private market stocks, including private equity specialists. So I think understanding the key dynamics in private equity is extremely important for our public market research. Now, in terms of the report we wrote last year, there were two key things that I think is important to first understand about private equity. Firstly, it is a very cyclical business. And secondly, in its simplest form, the business of private equity is essentially fundraising, taking money from investors, using that money to buy stakes in private companies, and perhaps with a bit of leverage as well, to increase the power of that money, and then selling those stakes a few years later on at a higher value. And so pay off the borrowers and then return the cash to the investors. So usually the target is to try and achieve sort of 2 to 3 times the original amount invested. And then you go back to your investors with that great return and you ask them to invest with you again. And the reason I wanted to give you those sort of two things to start with is essentially when we thought about writing the research report last year, we were very aware of the cyclicality of the business. We clearly had the first major growth cycle from 2001 through to 2007, and then another one from 2015 through to 2021. So it had actually been over 3 years since the end of the last growth cycle for private equity. And so with the advent of higher interest rates, you know, they're putting up the cost of borrowing, that was really what sort of brought that to an end, I think. And when we were looking at this at the end of last year, I think it was October, interest rates had actually just started to come down. And we had the first ECB rate cut in June 2024. So it did seem like a really sensible time to ask if the industry could be at a turning point.
Now, can you talk us through some of your key findings in that report?
Sure, Mike, of course. If we think back again about how private equity works and what we said about the fundraising, the investing with leverage, and then the selling and returning the cash to investors, and then the coming back around to us for fundraising, I think the key question that we tried to answer in the report last year was really what caused that cycle to slow down and what could get it moving again. So in the report, we looked at a number of things. I mean, I suppose the first obvious question was, you know, was fundraising the culprit? Was this the reason why the cycle had slowed down post-2021? And the first thing we found was that actually there's still a lot of dry powder in the private equity industry. Dry powder is money that's been raised but not yet invested. And in fact, at the global level, dry powder was still around $1.5 trillion and had been that level since 2020. So on the face of it, at least fundraising was not the culprit. There was clearly money available to be invested. But it was also quite clear when we did the research that the whole cycle of fundraising and investing had slowed down. So, you know, in 2021, the average time for a fund to raise money was maybe 10 months. In 2024, this had risen to 18 months. So clearly everything had slowed down and, you know, obviously left us with the question of why, you know, why was fundraising taking longer? So that was kind of one part of the report. Second part was we sort of then looked at the whole process itself, you know, like the investing, the ability to borrow, the ability to sell investments, and to try and work out if this was maybe connected in some way to why fundraising had slowed down, given that, you know, this had seemed to happen. And I think from my perspective, there were really two important things to remember. I mean, the first is, why does private equity do what it does? I mean, private equity firms make investments in order to generate these high returns for their investors. And if they don't generate strong enough returns, then they're going to struggle to raise money for their next fund, right? So the holy grail is, it's pretty obvious, really, you'll buy low and sell high, right? So, and the second thing is, who is it who's doing all of this, and who are the different participants? And the important thing for us here was 40% of the sales by private equity funds are actually made to other private equity funds, right? And then 40% are made to trade. So, I mean, where the buyer is another company, essentially. And then 20% are IPOs, where the private company lists on the public market. And I think that's sort of the important thing to think about, because clearly what we had was 2015 through to 2021, we'd had the rising cycle for the private equity market. And by 2021, deals were being done at great volume, at high valuations. And when you then rolled onto 2022, when interest rates had risen and valuations had fallen, you had a real problem for the investments that were made perhaps back in 2018 or 2019. So it was looking a lot harder for them to be sold at high enough valuations to generate the returns that the PE fund investors actually were looking for. So, and at the same time, of course, you know, you had economic conditions that maybe slowed down. There was conflict in Eastern Europe. Interest rates, as I say, were higher. So the risk appetite from buyers was lower. And so everything sort of ground to a halt. And I think for us, because we're looking at PE to PE being 40% of the activity, this was really what caused the real logjam to come through. And so with private equity deals now perhaps being bought and sold, you know, pre-2021 on a 3 to 5 year cycle, that cycle is now stretching out to 5 to 8 or even 10 years. And that slower cycle meant that you were taking longer to give your money back to the original investors. So this was where the whole thing sort of came around full circle, which comes back to, you know, was fundraising the culprit? And we said no, because there's lots of funds available. The key thing is it was taking longer for the private equity firms to actually give the money back to investors. And so those investors then had less money available to commit to the fundraising that was then going on, right? So essentially, they still wanted to make the investment. They just took them longer to make that decision because they didn't have the cash available. So crucially for us, you know, this is what caused everything to slow down. And then when we take a step back again and look again at that $1.5 trillion of dry powder, the most important thing was actually compared to the value of private equity investments that were out there, bearing in mind that 40% of transactions are from PE to PE, that $1.5 trillion was actually only 35% of the value of the unsold private equity portfolio companies at the time. So that was an all-time low, but it's also less than the 40% that usually happens in terms of private equity to private equity transactions. So at the end of all of this, we obviously did a lot of work in the support. The conclusion we came to was that interest rates were starting to come down, which is why we'd written the report. And clearly that was going to be helpful for things to start to get better because your cost of borrowing is going to be lower. Maybe people will be willing to pay slightly higher prices for some of these assets. But on its own, that was not enough, right? We basically said, you've got your dry powder at all-time low versus the valuations of the unsold companies. That 40% share of transactions done between private equity firms is likely to fall. And so in addition to interest rates coming down, you need other new sources of money, essentially, right? Whether that's the IPO markets coming back online or new sources of liquidity into the market. So perhaps from private investors, that was what we thought would have to change in order for things to really get better.
Thank you, Haley. Now, can you just talk a little bit about the more recent report that you wrote, which revisited this topic about 6 weeks ago, and any key findings or new findings or any change in views on the back of that? Thank you.
Yes. So obviously, the newest report was some 9 months after the original report was written. So quite a lot had changed. We thought it would be a good opportunity to take a fresh look. And, you know, given we were so focused on the deal activity as one of the key leading indicators in our first report, we thought this was the best thing to look at. So what we did was we did a simple count, really, of news articles which mentioned M&A deals in Europe where private equity was either the buyer or the seller. And we sort of ran that chart to see how it was looking. And what was interesting to us was that actually that chart clearly showed us that deal activity did attempt to stage some sort of recovery in 2024, but that stalled in the autumn and then had since sort of fallen again. But actually, since the beginning of May, there were some signs of pickup again in deal activity. So it kind of felt like maybe, you know, in the 9 months that had passed, maybe investor confidence had got a little bit stronger, and maybe some of these new sources of liquidity had been coming in, and so we were seeing some sort of signs of recovery. And then matching that up to, you know, maybe what we were seeing and hearing in the market. You know, we had seen a number of larger deals being announced, more of the 2018, 2019 assets being sold. So it really did, had started to feel like we could be at a turning point for deal activity. And, you know, taking a step back from my perspective, that kind of makes sense, right? Public markets are at high levels, which could be one source of liquidity. We've got economic stimulus packages in Europe, got increased investor confidence in this region. And it we have clearly seen private equity funds targeting private investors and gathering significant fund flows there. So everything seemed to be sort of adding up to the driving factors that we thought we needed to see in a report last October, actually starting to come through. And I guess finally, from my perspective, you know, taking this report together with the work that you did actually earlier this year, Mike, on the US to European rotation, that also made us pretty confident that, you know, again, that could be another source of liquidity and we could be seeing a turning point for the private equity cycle pretty soon. So, I mean, I guess where we are now, obviously the report is not that old, and we're now in the sort of relatively quieter summer months for deal activity. I'm probably now looking into late Q3 or into Q4 to really try and look for evidence of a real noticeable pickup in activity, whether that is, you know, PE to PE or IPOs. And if we can see that, then that's going to make us much more confident the cycle has truly turned. So I guess from my perspective, we're saying watch this space. We're going to keep tracking that deal count and the value of those deals critically. And if we're right and the cycle has genuinely turned, then perhaps we're at the start of another multi-year positive cycle for private equity.
Well, Haley, thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. And for all the listeners out there, thank you for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an overview of private equity with me, Mike Werner, and Haley Tam, both co-heads of the European Diversified Financials team here at UBS. If you enjoyed this episode, please tune again and share this episode with a friend or colleague. Thank you very much.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries, and/or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. UBS 2025, the key symbol, and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.